إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. ثم أما بعد، to proceed, we are still reading from كتاب مختصر منهاج القاصدين by الإمام أحمد بن قدام المقدسي. And we're on the chapter of hope and fear, and we are on fear, the part about fear, and this is page 316. Imam Ahmad ibn Qudama says here, you should know that fear represents the Almighty's, he can say, driving force on earth, whereby he drives people to seek knowledge and exert effort so that they should be drawn near to him. Fear has three aspects, namely moderate, extreme, and deficient. Fear has three grades, not aspects. These are grades, not aspects. Moderate, extreme, and deficient. And certainly moderation is good in everything, even in fear. So when the Prophet ﷺ says that he is the most fearful of God, that means what? That he has the most healthy fear of God. Does not mean that he is the most fearful in general, because there could be the extreme fear, which is negative, not positive. Extreme fear, which is despair, or the extreme fear which leads to despair, and that is negative, not positive. The Prophet ﷺ had the most healthy fear of God, the fear that is still a driving force, the fear that prevents you, withholds you, hinders you, impedes you, delays you, is the unhealthy fear, which is the extreme fear, which is the one that is not recommended. And then he talks about the grades of fear, and that is ultimately what it is. The moderate fear is the fear that drives you. The deficient fear, you have no driving force, you have nothing driving you. So you'll be heedless, you'll be negligent, you'll be reckless. The extreme fear, that will hinder you, that will impede you, that will hold you back. And if you move to page 317, the kinds of fear, he says, fear commands various states. Some fear from death before repenting. Others fear from being misled by blesses, or by favors, or by Allah's bounties, because they could be also a type of trial that many people fail. More people fail this trial than those who fail the trial of hardship. This is clear, right? Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf said, "Ibtulina bil-darra'i fasabarna, wa ibtulina bil-sarra'i falam nasbir." We were tried with hardship and we were patient, and when we were tried with ease and plenty, we were not patient. Certainly the Sahaba, radhiyallahu alayhim, they continued to be patient. Yet he felt a difference in his heart. He felt a difference in the heart that he, as a Sahabi. And you see, the Sahabi holds himself to a standard that is different from us. The Prophet holds to himself to a standard that's different from us. When Ibrahim counts the three lies on himself, these are not three lies. These are not forbidden. These are not sins. But because he's a Prophet, he holds himself up to a standard that is different from us. So anyway, Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf says that we were tested by hardship and we showed patience. And once we were tested by ease and plenty, we were impatient. That is because he's Sahabi and he holds himself up to a different standard, but he is letting us know of something that is very important, that you should be more cautious during the times of ease and plenty and the good times and happy, blessed times. You should be more careful about your heart. He says, and a third group fears from distraction at the end of life, and that should be a very big fear. Because إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ, deeds are but by their endings. And, you know, a man could be, you know, could work the works of the people of the Jannah until it's only an arm length between him and the Jannah, and then his destiny will precede him, and then he will do the works of the people of the hellfire until he enters it. And we will say, and we said, and we will say that this is not a man who is completely devoted and completely dedicated. This is a man who was not paying attention to something in his heart that then overtook him. and then caused him to do the works of the people of the hellfire. Allah does not have any interest in misguiding people, just torment them. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. What interest would Allah have tormenting you if you were grateful and had faith? So Allah has no interest in this. But this person did not pay attention to the arrogance in his heart, to the pride in his heart, to the hypocrisy, to the showing off in his behavior, in his religious practice, etc. The highest level of fear is to consider this world fearfully. It's to be afraid of this world in general. It's to be afraid because it's a test. This whole world is a test. This whole existence, or this stage of our existence in this world, is all a test. So it's just like you're going to like a very important exam. You know, it's an eternity in the hellfire or paradise. So this is a very important exam. You're going to a very important exam. Based on the results of this exam, your destiny will be determined. And you can imagine how anxious you will be. Then he says, furthermore, some dread agonies of death, some dread being questioned in their grave, some dread being brought before the Almighty, some dread being interrogated for their deeds, passing over the Sirat, being thrown in the hellfire, being deprived from paradise, and ultimately being prevented from beholding the Almighty, which is al-harman min an-nazar ila wajhihi al-kareem, to be deprived and prevented from beholding and looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will be the ultimate loss. So everyone has his own fears, and people's fears vary. And everyone has a certain fear from a certain station or stage in the stages of the hereafter. Like for Uthman ibn Affan, for instance, as we said before, his greatest fear was about the grave, because he says that this is the first indication of what comes thereafter. This is when you will be given your results. The results of this test will be given out on this day. Do you remember, those of you who went to college, the day that went to college, the day you go to check your results, you're most anxious on this day. So this is the time that results will be passed out. So he says here, virtue of fear and hope, which is superior? Some people ask whether fear is superior and hope is superior. And then he talks about the virtue of fear. And some ayat that talk about the virtue of fear. And as we said before, you cannot say that you love Allah but you do not fear from His punishment, because that is unbefitting of a servant with the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best of His creation are the ones who fear from His punishment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "I'm the most fearful of Allah amongst you." And Allah commanded us to fear from His punishment. So just the claim that you're not afraid, that all of you, what you do is out of love, you're not afraid, is defiance. Defiance of, against the divine will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. But for him who fears from standing before his Lord, the reward shall be two gardens in paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, جزاؤهم عند ربهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك لمن خشي ربه. The reward with their Lord will gardens of Eden, in which they will abide forever. And we're on page 318, the first part of page 318. Gardens of Eden in which they will abide forever. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. That is for those who fear their Lord. That is for those who fear their Lord. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is a hadith Qudsi, so he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي لَا أَجْمَعُ عَلَى عَبْدِي خَوْفَيْنِ وَلَا أَجْمَعُ لَهُ أَمْنَيْنِ مَنْ خَافَنِي فِي الدُّنْيَا أَمَّنْتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَمَنْ أَمِنَنِي فِي الدُّنْيَا أَخَفْتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. By my might and glory, I shall not combine two states of safety or fear for my servant. If he fears me in this life, I will make him safe in the hereafter. And if he is safe, or if he feels safety in this life, I will make him feel, I'll make him afraid on in the hereafter, or on the day of resurrection. He also reports here hadith that is reported by Tirmidhi from Abdullah ibn Abbas, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Aynani la tamassuhuma an-nar, aynun bakat min fasiyat Allah, wa aynun batat tahrusu fi sabilillah." Two eyes will not be touched by hellfire, meaning the whole body will not be touched by the hellfire. Two eyes will not be touched by the hellfire. An eye that cries out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one that stays up guarding for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stays up guarding. Like you stay up guarding, you know, if police officers, for instance, they have a bad reputation in our countries because they don't guard. They guard themselves and they guard the state. They don't guard the people. But for those who guard the people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be given safety and security on the Day of Judgment. And for an eye that cries out of the fear of God. And also for people who are, you know, at the ports and the borders of the Muslim, you know, land and so on, that are guarding, that they stay up late guarding, they will not be touched by the hellfire. No, the whole body will not be touched. The eye cries, the eye stays up, because it stays up open, awake. But then the body will be spared of the hellfire because of the eye. Because if the eye will not be touched by the hellfire, the body will not be touched. You should know that asking, Imam al-Qudama then here says, you should know that asking which is the best, hope or fear, is like asking which is better, bread or water. It's two different things. Like we say, you know, you can't compare oranges to apples. They're just two different things. You need fear sometimes and you need hope sometimes. He says thus their superiority, the superiority of fear over hope or hope over fear, is dependent on the emptiness that you have. If the emptiness that you have is despair, then hope is superior. If the emptiness that you have is recklessness and heedlessness and negligence, then the fear is superior. And then Imam Qudama says, some early Muslim once said, if all people are invited to enter paradise, except for a single man, if all people were invited to enter paradise, except for a single man, I would fear that I am that man. And if all people were caused to enter the hellfire, except for a single man, I would hope that I be that man. So in other words, it is not all about fear. It is also about hope. You know, if all my contemporaries were told, if someone comes down from the heavens and says everyone who's on earth now will enter paradise except for one, you should fear that you are that one. And if an angel came down from the heavens and said that all of the people on earth now will enter the hellfire except for one, you should hope that you will be that one. Because your hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be, your hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be great, as great as the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When does the hope, as we said before, when does the hope becomes wishful thinking? And that's the difference between raja' with tamanni. Tamanni, which is wishful thinking, is when you hope and you don't do anything to accomplish that objective or your objective, to attain your goal. So the attainment of objective is contingent upon work, upon your faith, upon your work. And if you just have hope and you're not working for this hope, then that is called at-tamanni, which is wishful thinking, versus ar-raja', which is hope. One may wonder, how can hope and fear be equal within the believer's heart, while his hope should be superior due to his piety? You know, ultimately, you know, for a believer, he prays 5 times a day, he prays at night, he fasts the days, he does this, he does that. So he knows that he's doing a lot of good things. So how could he have, you know, equal amounts of hope and fear? First of all, you don't know that you will continue to do as good as you are. And that is a great fear, that you will be directed, misguided, or directed into a different path. Because of your diseases, your sicknesses, that you are aware or unaware of, because the many sicknesses people are unaware of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ فَرَأَهُ حَسَنًا. Have you not seen him whose evil works or evil deeds have been adorned, beautified for him until he saw them good? And that is many, many people. Look around you. There are so many people who think that they are doing good. There are so many people who think that they're doing good for humanity. You know, they wage wars and they think that they're doing good for humanity. They annihilate tens of thousands of people, and they may think, or their shaitan may convince them that they're doing good for the humanity, that this is the price of this or the price of that. So that is فَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ فَرَآهُ حَسَنًا. And one should be very careful about this, and one should be very fearful that the diseases of his heart that he's unaware of may lead to his destruction. Also, one should not think that his deeds, that it is for granted for your deeds to be accepted. Whoever said that the deeds are accepted? You know, you have done them, but whoever said that they are accepted? You sow the seeds of Iman in your heart, but whoever said that your heart is fertile to grow those seeds? You sowed the seeds of Iman, the deeds that you do. But whoever said that your heart is fertile to accept the seeds and to grow the seeds? People sow seeds all the time. They plant seeds all the time in infertile lands, or land that is not appropriate for the type of seeds that they planted, and they don't grow. So yes, you're planting, but do not be too certain, or do not be too sure that this is going to amount to any fruitful plants or will come to fruition. Then, you know, Ali ibn Abi Talib used to say, if I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accepted one rak'ah, from me, I would wish to die, because إِنَّمَا يَتْقَبْلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Most certainly Allah accepts only from the pious. So, you know, if Allah accepts one rak'ah from us, then that is a declaration, that's a certificate of honor for us, that we belong to those muttaqeen from whom Allah accepts their deeds. And the Sahaba used to be quite aware of this, and he talks here about Umar ibn al-Khattab following Hudhaifa ibn al-Yaman, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet had told him of the names of the hypocrites, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told about by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Umar ibn al-Khattab would follow Hudhaifa and ask him, If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam named them amongst the hypocrites. Well, keep in mind that this is Umar ibn al-Khattab, you know, received the glad tiding after glad tiding from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet he was cautious, he was anxious, he was careful, and he wanted to make sure that his ending will be on Islam. He says here on page 320, the treatment leading to fear. This is attained through two ways, one of which is superior to the other. For example, a boy, what he would want to say here is that the treatment that leads to fear is one of two ways. It's emulation and contemplation. Emulation and contemplation. So the emulation is, he says that if a boy is sitting at home and a snake entered the house, and it's a small boy, it's like a baby, like an infant, a snake enters the house, what do you think that the infant will do? The infant may very well walk up to the snake and approach the snake and may try to play with the snake. Once the infant sees his father run out from the snake, that's quite known. It's conditioning. It's quite known. The infant sees his father, running away from the snake. Or for many people, if his mother, the first time he sees his mother, the first confrontation between his mother and a mouse, for instance, may be the way he will think of mice for the rest of his life. If that kind of very first confrontation that he witnessed between his mother and a mouse was one that was panicky, then the child will be always afraid. Usually, that's what it is. Usually, that the child will be impressed and affected by impacted by his mother's attitude towards that mouse. So it is emulation. It's emulation, and that is many people fear, through emulation. And then the next step will be contemplation, and that is when you have recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the superior type. It is having recognition, awareness, and that recognition will be persistent recognition, consistent recognition. You're always conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's observing you and that He's watching over you. And that constant recognition will result in the superior type of fear. And then he quotes several verses here. And on page 323, in the middle of page 323, he says, having a bad end in one's life has its own means, such as peddling and innovation, hypocrisy, pride, etc. Therefore, all early Muslims warded off hypocrisy, or were afraid of hypocrisy. And then he says that hypocrisy does not have to only be through disbelief. Hypocrisy can be acquired. Hypocrisy. Now, the nifaq al-amali. There is nifaq amali and nifaq ilmi. There is the theoretical nifaq, or there is the nifaq of belief and the nifaq of practice. The nifaq in belief and the nifaq in practice. The nifaq in practice will eventually result in the nifaq in belief, or the nifaq of belief. They're connected in a way and disconnected in a way. They're connected in a way and disconnected in a way. You cannot say that everyone who has the features, the practical features of a hypocrite, is in fact a hypocrite who does not believe in God, period. No, because this is nifaq amri, this is nifaq, the nifaq of practice. But the nifaq of belief is a different nifaq. Yet the nifaq of practice will result in the nifaq of belief if you are not, if you do not diligently address the crisis, particularly when you're close to the 100% nifaq of practice. And your closeness to the 100% of nifaq in practice will be by fulfilling three conditions. ثلاثا من كنا فيه كان منافقا خالصا ومن كانت فيه خصلة منهن كانت فيه خصلة من النفاق حتى يضعها إذا حدث كذب وإذا وعد غدر وإذا تمر خائن. And then there are other hadith that talk about إذا خاصم الفجر. So, three things, or three qualities, if you have them, you are a complete hypocrite. كان منافقا خالصا. You are a complete hypocrite. And if you have one of them, you will have one feature or one quality of hypocrisy until you leave it. إذا حدث كذب, if he lies when he speaks, وإذا وعد غدر, he breaks his promises after he makes them. وإذا اؤتمن خان, he betrays the trust. He betrays the trust when he's entrusted. So, just those three things. Sometimes in certain acts of wickedness that some people do, or certain acts of evil that people do, they actually combine all three of them in some of their acts of wickedness, because they break their promise, and then they betray their trust. And in order for you to do this, you'll need to lie. And then if you add to them one fourth quality that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in a separate hadith, وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرْ, and then he's wicked in his disputes, or when he has a dispute with someone, or when he has fighting with someone, or disagreement, he is wicked in his disputes and disagreements. So he will use all tools. He does not spare any tools. He will use everything. You know, he can use, for instance, gossips, backbiting. He can even accuse him of things that he's innocent of. He can even try to hurt him, try to cause him to run into trouble with the law, And this, unfortunately, does not only happen with people who are enemies of each other. You do see this sometimes between spouses, Muslim spouses. After they get separated, then they show all the wickedness in the whole world that can be shown, trying to hurt one another by all means. And it just shows you that there is no much infrastructure here as far as iman is concerned, but they have not really worked on themselves. And then you scratch your head and you say, how did they get to this point? Well, they got to this point because there is no infrastructure. And you try to figure out, how could you be this wicked? Because you did not build anything. There is nothing. As far as iman is concerned, there is just nothing. There is no foundation. Therefore, you can't imagine anything happening. And then he would be Muslim, or she would be Muslim, or etc., or at least that's what they are called. But they don't have any room for light in their hearts. There is no room for goodness. There is no room for righteousness. There is no room for God, for fear from God. There is just no room. And in this case, there is no wonder that people can be working the works of the people of paradise until there is only an arm span between them and paradise. Because those people, you could see them. They could be fasting. They could pray. She could be muhajjaba. He could have a beard, and so on and so forth. And eventually, when a dispute arises between them, then everybody brings out all tools of evil that they can master, they can use in this dispute. That is hypocrisy. That is hypocrisy of practice. That will ultimately and inevitably, if not addressed, lead to hypocrisy in belief. Because there is a hadith that was reported from the Prophet ﷺ, but not, the authentic narration is up to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. The one that goes up to the Prophet ﷺ is not very authentic, but it is a very beautiful statement. And certainly Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. There is much to learn from them. It says, لَيْسَ يُطْبَعُ الْمُؤْمِنَ عَلَى كُلِّ خَصْلَةٍ لَيْسَ الْكَذِبُ وَالْخِيَانَةِ يُطْبَعُ الْمُؤْمِنُ عَلَى كُلِّ خَصْلَةٍ لَيْسَ الْكَذِبُ وَالْخِيَانَةِ. So a believer can have all features and qualities, can have you know, can be coward, can be stingy, can be nervous, can be anything. All of those negative qualities a believer can be, except for two: kadhib, which is lying, and khiyana, which is betrayal of the trust, or treachery, or betrayal of the trust. So these are not, you know, qualities that would coexist with belief in one's heart. One of them will take the other out of that heart. One of them will drive the other out of the heart. They cannot just continue to coexist together in one's heart. Because iman is all about what? It's all about certainty of belief. It's all about sidq, tasdeeq. It's all about truthfulness. Truthfulness, sidq. And, you know, sidq and lying and treachery and betrayal of trust cannot just coexist in someone's heart. At one point, eventually, one of them will drive the other out of that heart. There is, I think, some more on fear. I think I need to speak with a couple of brothers, so I'll just stop here because we may be too late. But before I do end this session, I'll just take a couple of questions and then we will conclude the session. So,